Amen. Thank you, choir and orchestra. Thank you, Connie. You know, we are kept by the Lord, by His love, by His power. He loves us so much that He came and died for our sin. And we're grateful for that, aren't we? We're grateful that we've been redeemed, that we've been changed, that we've been saved. And we're here today because of that. You don't go to church to get saved. You go to church because you are saved. Amen. I'm glad you're here, tennis shoes or not. I'm glad you're here today. I've never preached in tennis shoes. I was telling our new members class we had at 8 o'clock this morning. I said, you know, I've never preached in tennis shoes as I can recall. Maybe at the prison. When I was at the prison, I think I preached there. And I was just visiting, all right? I told them, I said, now, this is new member class. I was just visiting the prison. But I think I preached out there one time in tennis shoes. But, you know, we support Haiti, and we support new missions, and we're glad to support them and those children there in Haiti. A lot of you are sponsoring a child there in Haiti through new missions. I'm grateful for that. My wife and I are as well. So we hope a lot of tennis shoes will go there. And who knows, they come to heaven, got a pair of tennis shoes on, might have been yours. Amen. So anyway, I appreciate that. I appreciate our youth, Andy John, and all of our youth, and Alan, for them to head this up. And we appreciate you being here today. Open your Bibles as we start in the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. Well, we just celebrated Easter, didn't we? Celebrated Easter. What is Easter? We celebrated the crucifixion of Christ, as we were saying about a moment ago. Also, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Jesus was crucified for our sin, and yet He arose from the grave. So we celebrated Easter. Now what? Now what do we do? Wait for Christmas, right? Now what do we do now? We know, where is Jesus, by the way? He resurrected. So where is He? Where did He go? What happened to Him when He came out of that grave? So we know that He's at the right hand of the Father. Today, this is awesome. He's praying for you today. He's interceding for me today and you. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's our advocate. He is our intercessor. He's reconciling us to the Father. So we'll talk about that. But what happened to Jesus? What happened to Him after He was crucified? Of course, we know that He rose again. Now, a lot of people, there's a lot of doctrines, there's a lot of theologians that say there's no such thing as the body resurrection. They believe in a spiritual resurrection, that the spirit goes to be with the Lord, but they don't believe that there's a physical body resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe that. That's why they were sad, you see, all right? So they didn't believe that either. And so we believe there is a bodily resurrection, just like there is a spiritual resurrection. Now, get the picture. Jesus is on the cross. Jesus said seven things while He was on the cross. One of those, He said this: Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. So what was happening there? The spirit, if you will, Jesus was God the man, God the Father. He was the spirit there. So the spirit went back to be with the Father. And yet Jesus, not like us, our body stays in the grave till Jesus comes back. But Jesus' body didn't stay in the grave because He's God. Right? He's God. So Jesus was about for 40 days before He ascended to the Father. I've never heard a message preached on this, what I'm going to preach to you today. I'm going to talk about Jesus, His resurrection, and the post-resurrection for 40 days. Jesus was here on earth for 40 days, if you will, in the spirit and in the body as well. He had a glorified body. It wasn't the body that He had that they crucified, if you will. He was 100% human then and 100% God. But when He resurrected, He had a glorified body that you and I will have when we're resurrected. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this is not all there is? That we get a new body. It's immediately our spirit goes to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Jesus said, into my hands I commend thy spirit. And when you and I die and lay this body down, our flesh, our spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord as well. And then our bodies stay in the grave until Jesus comes back and we have a resurrection to the rapture. And then where our bodies will be reunited with our spirit. And then we too will have a glorified body. That's what the Bible teaches. If you'll read the Bible, you'll find that out. So I want to talk about that today. Now, is there evidence in Scripture? Does the Bible give evidence that Jesus had a body after He resurrected? And does Scripture give evidence that it was a glorified body? Well, it sure does. And I'll prove that to you on the screen. How do we know that? Well, in John 20, 19 and 26, the body said that Jesus entered rooms where the doors were closed. He didn't go in through the doors. He went through the walls, or he just happened to be there. All right? And then in Luke chapter 24, verse 31, the Bible says that Jesus vanished in thin air. Remember the road to Emmaus? The guys were talking to him. He turned around. Poof! He's out of there. So his body could vanish into thin air. Then in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, and John chapter 20, verse 17 through 27, Jesus could be touched and felt. We know that he had a body after he resurrected because the disciples touched it. Jesus said, here, look at my hands. Put your hand in there. Feel that hole. Feel my feet. Touch me. I have a body, but I have a glorified body. And then in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, Jesus' body consisted of flesh and bone. So Jesus had a glorified body, yet it had flesh and bone, just like you and I. So we had a glorified body that will have flesh and bones. Because why? Because we're going to eat and drink. Did Jesus eat and drink after his resurrected and glorified body? Sure did. Luke chapter 24, verse 42 through 43, Jesus' body was capable of eating food. By the way, he was a fisherman. Can I get a witness? And you know what he ate? Fish. By the sea, didn't he? Ate fish. He said, hey, give me something to eat. I'll show you. It's me, but I'll show you I have a glorified body, a body that you can see, a body you can touch. And so you and I, there's good news today. Even though we die, maybe cancer, maybe whatever, they're going to lay this body down, but we're going to be healed, as the choir just sang. No more pain, no more heartache, no more hurt. We're going to have a glorified body, and it's going to be eternal. It's going to live forever. And get this, it never gets old. Can I get a witness? And all the senior adults said, amen and amen. I are one, all right? And so our body never gets old. We never hurt. We never get diseased. There's no more disaster. There's no more destruction in heaven. Revelation 24, 1, he wipes away every tear. No more tears in heaven. No more grave. No more funerals in heaven. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about that this morning, and I hope that you are too. So I'm going to share that with you. Now let's turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, I want us to see this. Now, before I read this, I want to ask you this question, because I thought about this. Why did Jesus hang out on earth for 40 days before he ascended to the Father? Why did he do that? Why didn't he just immediately, woof, he's with the Father? So why 40 days? Why did he hang around here? I don't want to hang around here when I die, amen? I want to go be with him immediately, and I will. But why did Jesus linger and hang around here for 40 days before he ascended to the Father on high? That's a good question. I'll let Billy Graham answer it. Billy Graham said this. Listen to this. His body had been taken from the cross and sealed in a tomb, and when that happened, his disciples were filled with despair and fear. Many even went into hiding. They had believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and now their hopes were shattered. They had forgotten his promise that he would return from the grave, and they felt that they had no future. But when Jesus appeared among them after the resurrection, their lives were changed. The greatest miracle in all of the history just happened. Jesus Christ was alive. During those 40 days, he appeared to various groups of disciples, proving beyond doubt to them that he had been raised from the dead by the power of God. Over two decades later, the Apostle Paul would write, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of them who are still living. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, 6. Another reason Jesus stayed here for 40 days on the earth was to teach his disciples and prepare them for the task of telling the world about Jesus Christ and his coming back. So Jesus still had work to do, if you will. He said after he resurrected, he told them, I'm going to rise. They didn't really understand that. Their eyes were closed. But Jesus appeared to them. He appeared to the disciples on three different occasions. He appeared to others, a lot of people. And I'm going to share that with you today. 10 appearances that Jesus made to people, if you will, while he was in a glorified body, before he ascended to the Father, for 40 days, he appeared to many. And I just thought it'd be interesting to see all those he appeared to, and let's just see what happened, all right? So in our Bibles today, we're going to talk about that. And in Acts chapter 1. Look in verse 1, Acts 1, verse 1. The former account means the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. So this is the second volume, if you will, that Luke is writing. He just wrote Luke, and now he writes the book of Acts. So the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, raptured, if you will, went up to be with the Father, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now don't miss verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. That means unmistakable proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Father, would you bless this message? Lord, may it be an honor to you and to glorify your name to show you, Lord, that you're just no ordinary person. You're no ordinary God. You're supernatural. You're super ordinary. Father, you're the God of gods. You are God. There is no other God but you. And we thank you that you came to us in the form of Jesus Christ, and yet, Lord, you took on flesh for us, and then, Lord, you went back to the Father, and now you've given us the Holy Spirit that resides in each of us who call you Jesus, who believe in you and accept you as our personal Savior. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us today. Draw us near to you, and, Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, the book of Acts, we just talked about, he gives an account of the 40 days of purpose. So let's dive right in. I'm going to give you these 10 appearances that Jesus made after the resurrection. This is called the post-resurrection. Number one, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is found in John chapter 20. So turn with me, go back a page or two, turn back to the left, and come to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, look with me. All right, and look in verse number 1. Now, every one of these appearances, I was preparing this message, I was thinking, why did he appear to Mary Magdalene? Why did he appear to James? Why did he appear to Peter? Why did he appear to 500 and all the rest I want to give you? I think there's a significance here. I think this one is because of forgiveness. She was a prostitute, and Jesus saved her and forgave her. So he appeared to her. Because she was seeking him. Look in verse 1. On the first day of the week, that would be Sunday. This is after the Sabbath. Jesus was crucified on the Sabbath. And now this is resurrection morning. Sunday. First day of the week. And so the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went into the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Wow. Now, I want you to look in verse 11. Verse 11, now she went back and told Peter and John. They ran to the tomb and they didn't believe it. And all of the grave cloth was there. The stone had been rolled away. And then Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "Because they have taken my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." Verse number 14. And then when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Why? He's in his glorified body. She didn't kind of recognize him at first. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why, who are you looking for?" As if he didn't know. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, have you carried my Savior away? Tell me where he is that I may go and take him away." And Jesus looked at Mary and said one word, "Mary, Mary." And she looked at him and she called him Rabboni, which means teacher. Isn't it fascinating that Jesus said one word and Mary said one word, but it spoke volumes? Because that's love language. She knew who he was. He knew who she was. They loved one another. And all they had to say was her name, Mary. Do you know that Jesus said, "My sheep shall know me and be called by my name. And I know their name." You got a new name written down in glory. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows every head of your hair. It's numbered. Christ knows who you are. You get to know him. Mary was seeking him. And she found him. If we seek him with all our heart, soul, and mind, the Bible says we will find him. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Are you seeking him? Do you really want to know him? He wants to know you. So he appeared to her. Awesome. Very awesome here, I'm telling you. Now, the second appearance was to the other women. He had left Mary there. He appeared to her personally. Wow. I want y'all to hear this. The first person Jesus appeared to after he resurrected was to a prostitute. A former prostitute. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Paul. It was Mary the prostitute. That's awesome. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. He loves everybody. He's not a respecter of persons. And next he appeared to the other women. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. You need your Bibles today. I hope you brought them. We're going to look at the Bible today. This is a Bible preaching church. We don't preach sermonettes to majorettes to smoke cigarettes, all right? We preach the Word. Amen and amen. We preach the Word here. We teach the Word. We sing the Word of God. And so when you come to Lindsay Lane, I promise you, you're going to hear a word from God. Now, what you do with it is up to you and God. But I hope you hear it today. So the other women, look in verse 28, look in verse number 8. Now he is risen. They thought he was risen. Mary's been there. And then at verse number 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went, notice they, it's the women. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. Rejoice, ladies. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said this, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So he had a mission for them. The second one he appeared to was the ladies there. Now, Luke chapter 24 and verse 10 tells us who these women were. It says they were Mary Magdalene. It was Joanna, mother of Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them. So we know it was several women there who had went. Why were they there? They were to prepare the body for burial. It was a Jewish custom. They had to get him down before the Sabbath, so they rushed him there, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they put him in the tomb, but they didn't prepare his body properly for burial, so the women had went down there to prepare his body for proper burial, and they met Jesus while they were there, all right? Now, it's an awesome thing, and they said, go back and tell my disciples, I'll meet them in Galilee. And now the third appearance is Peter. The third appearance is Peter. Now, there's not a lot of scripture. We don't need a lot, but it doesn't say a lot about this encounter. We don't know where it was. We don't know where he met Peter. But I want you to look at Luke chapter 24. Look in Luke chapter 24, and I'll show it to you in the scripture. Luke chapter 24, and look in verse 34. Luke 24, 34. Now, this is the two guys, two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They saw Jesus. I'll talk about them in a moment. And they came back to the disciples. Look what they said in verse 34 of 24 of Luke. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has already appeared to Simon, to Peter. We don't know where it was. Don't even know what happened, but we know he appeared to Peter personally. Now, I want you to look in, if you will, so I'll show you again. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and make your spot there. I'll be back to this particular passage. So mark it. With something. I got a little piece of paper. I'm marking 1 Corinthians 15 with so I can turn back there quickly. Because I got to speak quickly because I'm in a hurry. Amen. I want to be done today on time. All right. So I want you to look in 1 Corinthians 15. And if you would, look in verse 5. Not much is said. These two verses. Look in verse 5. And that he was seen by Cephas, if you will, who is Peter, and then by the 12. He was saw by Peter first. So he had a special reason to appear to Peter. I believe it's restoration. You know, Peter went through a lot of guilt, so I believe he appeared to him personally somewhere. Maybe the disciples were meeting people, and Peter went out. You know, he went out to smoke a cigarette, and there he was. Amen? No, I'm kidding. He just went out from the group, and he was out there, and Jesus appeared to him and said, Peter, here I am. Like I said, I've risen. So we don't know. That's all we know. So the third appearance, if you will, was to Peter. At some point, he appeared to him. Now, number four, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24, if you're there. Now, this is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is a very interesting encounter. I preached on this before. So turn to chapter 24 and look, if you will, in verse number 13. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Now, this is Jesus' fourth appearance, and he's appearing the road to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, look in verse 13. I'll read kind of fast. Follow with me. Now, behold, two of them, two of who? Two of the disciples. It wasn't just 12. It was many disciples. He had 12 as an inner circle, if you will, and three of those, and then 12, and then he had many other. Now, two of them were traveling the same day. This is the same day. Mary's already seen him that morning, and he's already appeared to Peter sometime. And now they're heading to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talk together, and they're walking together. And as it happened, so it was that when they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, where did he come from? Probably out of the bushes. Probably just appeared. They're walking, turn around. Where are you? Dude, who are you? Well, I'm talking to you here, so let's just walk. And so they didn't know who he was. Now, look in verse 16. Here's why. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And Jesus said, what are y'all talking about? What kind of conversation you having that with one another as you walk? And why are you sad? So he said, what y'all talking about? And why are you sad? Now, you know that Jesus is omniscient. He already knew that. He knew what they're talking about. He wanted them to know it. He's doing something in these 40 days. He's getting them to know who he is. These two guys didn't have a clue. Their eyes were closed. He said, what are y'all talking about? What went on in Jerusalem? Now, if you read on, it talks about, they're saying, were you a stranger here? We've been up to Jerusalem. Do you haven't heard what happened to Jesus? They crucified him, man. The Romans tortured him. Where have you been? Have you not known what's going on? Are you a stranger? That's what they told him. That's exactly what they told him. Have you been a stranger? And then they had dialogue with him, and they said, won't you stay with us? Jesus said, well, it's getting dark. They said, no, just stay with us for a little while. So fast forward, if you will, to verse number 31. Verse 31. Verse 30 says, it came to pass, he sat down with them, and he broke bread with them and blessed it and gave it to them. And in verse 31, listen. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Wow. They knew him. Let me ask you a question. I don't have time to really unpack this, but here's what happened. Why in the world, in verse 16, would Jesus close their eyes, and then in verse 31, he opened them? Because he wanted them no longer to know him after the flesh. They had known him in the flesh. He's going to come over and conquer Rome. They talked about it. He's the political Messiah. He's going to take those Romans down. We're going to have a new kingdom. Jesus said, that's not why I came. Don't know me any longer after the flesh, Peter wrote, but know me after the spirit of who I really am. And so when he opened their eyes up, they knew he was Jesus. Look in verse 33. And so they arose up that very hour and went back another 7.5 miles where they just came from. They'd walk 7.5 miles to Emmaus. They turned right around, went right back to Jerusalem and told the disciples. And they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. So that leads us into number 5. Appearance number 5. Who was it then? The disciples without Thomas. Now get the picture. These two men have been walking the road to Emmaus. They appeared to Jesus. Jesus told them who they were. They were beside themselves. Oh my goodness, it's Jesus. He is alive. Let's go tell the disciples. So they run back to Jerusalem. They come into the room. The disciples are gathered there together, but Thomas sitting there with them. We don't know where he's at. He's probably out doing what Peter was doing. Anyway, he's out. And so there he is. And so Jesus, look in verse 36. Now, as they said these things, right in the middle of these two disciples from Emmaus, they're telling us, oh, God, y'all won't believe it. We saw Jesus. We talked to him, man. Didn't our hearts burn within us that he was the Christ? And as he was speaking, Jesus just appeared through the walls. Right when they were speaking. And I can imagine the disciples said, you guys, y'all on crack, aren't you? What's wrong with you guys? What y'all been smoking? And they're excited, and Mary was excited, but disciples hadn't really caught it yet. And Jesus just comes to them out of nowhere. And look what happened. Verse 36, he appeared in the middle of them and said to them, peace to you. And by the way, why would he say peace to you? Because, man, they were distraught, and they were afraid, and they thought they saw a ghost again. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, peace, brothers. peace be to you. And they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Hey, guys, I want to show you something. Look at my hands and my feet. Is it not I myself? Why don't you handle me and see? For a spirit, are y'all listening? For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. He wasn't just in the spirit. He's in a body. Touch it. Feel it. See that I am Jesus. I have risen in a bodily resurrection like I told you I would. I want you to know me. I want you to see me that I've told you what I was going to do and I'm proving it to you. Touch me, feel me, whatever you got to do, I want you to understand. Now look in verse number 43:2. So they arose and so they gave him. And he said, verse 41, look at this. Y'all got any food? Why in the world with a glorified body, Jesus said, why would he want to eat? Here's why, verse 42. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Why? To show them he got a body that eats, but a body that's glorified. Came through the wall, or he came through the ceiling. He just peered in there, right? In verse 44, then he said to them, these are the words I spoke to you while I was with you. Don't y'all remember I told y'all all of this, but that all things may be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So he got a mission for them. We know what he did. They had a mission for them, the Great Commission. He's preparing them to make sure they know who he is. All right? So let's go forward. And Thomas wasn't there. I'll show you that. So appearance number six. Appearance number six, the disciples with Thomas. So now Thomas is with them. Now 8 days has transpired. So turn with me to John chapter 20. Back to John chapter 20. I want you to see this. Very important. Verse number 24. John 20, verse 24. Now, he had already appeared to disciples. Thomas wasn't there. Now, he appears to them again the second time, and Thomas is with them. Here it is, verse 24, John 20. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them previously when Jesus came. He wasn't with them when the first time he came. That's what he's talking about. Verse 30, 25. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so Thomas said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I won't believe. Sounds like people today, doesn't it? I don't have faith like you have. I'm not going to believe in some God you talk about in the Bible, some book that he's a God in the flesh and he's Jesus and rose from a grave. I'm not going to believe all of that. I mean, one of the disciples didn't even believe it. Until he saw it. So why did Jesus hang around for 40 days? He wanted them to know him. And know he was telling them the truth of who he was. Now notice what happened. This is awesome. Well, it's just and here it is, verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Thomas is there now. And Jesus came, doors were shut, stood in the midst of them and said, came through the door again or through the wall, peace, he said it again, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, personally, reach your finger here. Look at my hands and reach your hand in here. And put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, notice this. This is nowhere else in Scripture you find it like this. My Lord and my God. My Lord, Savior, and my God. He knew who he was, didn't he? And he called him by name. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, notice what Jesus said. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. You know what he said? Thomas, you got shallow faith. But bless those who don't even see me and yet believe in me by faith. Amen? And so Thomas believed in him and acknowledged that. Now, number seven, the seven disciples beside the sea. Now, here's a great encounter. Turn with me to John 21. Just look there. John chapter 21. You're in John chapter 20. Look in verse number 21. Now, I want to show you something. Look in verse 30 and 31 first. John 20, 30, 31. I want to read these quickly. And truly Jesus did many other signs. Remember, the Bible says he did a lot of things weren't recorded in the Bible. He did a lot. He appeared to a lot of them, probably. We know he had 10 appearances. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. Verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. Now look in verse 1. After these things, what does that mean? After he appeared to them, and after a few days, and after, you know, he appeared to many, wasn't written. But after all these things, here's what he did. Look in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again, third time, to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Now, here's what happened. There are only seven. Verse number 2 says there are only 7 disciples present at this time by the Sea of Tiberias. So Jesus shows up. They're out there fishing. Peter said, I'm going fishing. He was a fisherman by trade. And so Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. So he's out there fishing, and Jesus shows up again. Now, again, notice what happened. Now, look down, if you will, if we look at it, verse 5. Look in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, children. I like that. Children, have you any food? Jesus must have been a Baptist. Amen? He's about eating some food when he... Hallelujah! We line right up, don't we? So Jesus said, guys, y'all got any food? And notice what happened. And they answered him and said, no, we don't have anything. We're trying to catch something. And he said to them, well, why don't you cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they did that. They cast on the right side. And now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. And then John spoke up in verse 7. Therefore, a disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, he said to Peter, oh my goodness, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. It's the Lord again, man. It's the Lord. And Simon Peter, as his personality, he reacted before he thought a lot of times. Look what he did. He heard it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged in the sea. He couldn't wait till they rowed in. He just started swimming. And the other disciples, they came in the boat. Now, I want you to look in verse 12. And Jesus told them, said, bring your fish up here. In verse 12, Simon Peter drug them nets up there. Jesus said to them, verse 12, come and eat breakfast. Come on up here, let's eat some breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was him? They knew it was him. They didn't say, who are you? They knew who it was. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now, this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And then I won't read all of verse 15 and following, but then he takes Peter aside in front of the other guys and says, Peter denied him 3 times, and 3 times he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And every time Peter said, yes, Lord, I do, he said, tend my sheep. You know what he's doing here, folks? You know why he appeared to these people 40 days? He wants them to know the mission he's got them on. He wants them to be crystal clear. I've given you a great commission. Go and baptize, make disciples. I want you to know who I am. I want you to tell people, tell the world, I'm alive, I'm risen, and I'm going back to the right hand of the Father and sending you the Holy Spirit. And so that was the third appearance. The seventh appearance was the 7 disciples by the sea. Now, number 8, appearance number 8 is 500 people. 500 people. Now, we don't have an encounter. I thought about this, and listen to this. You would think, if I was Jesus, and I wanted everybody to know who I was, I'd resurrected, and I'm alive, got a body, glorified body, all that, and I appeared to 500 people, I think I'd put a whole chapter in there about it. He didn't. One verse, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 15. I told you to mark it. Go back to it. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I want you to see this. In verse number 6, verse 5 said, we read that, and that he was seen by Cephas, Peter, and then by the 12. And then look at verse 6. And then he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time, of whom And Paul writes this, of whom the greater part remain present, but some of them have died or fallen asleep. He said he appeared to over 500 at one time. Now probably, most likely, theologians say that he appeared to them when he was given to disciples the Great Commission at the mountain in Galilee. Remember, there was a lot of disciples, not just the 12. We know there's 120 around him, and now there's over 500 people around him, probably when he went up to the Mount in Galilee and he gave the disciples the Great Commission. This is probably when that happened. We don't know that, but theologians say that's probably when it happened, because there he could have a big audience at that setting. And so he appeared to 500 people at one time. We don't have a lot of record of that, but we do know that he did it. Now, appearance number 9. Stay in 1 Corinthians 15, because here it is, James. The 9th appearance was to James. Now, who was James? James is the half-brother of Jesus. Now, remember, Jesus is from where? Nazareth. He's not welcomed in his hometown. Remember, they tried to run him out of town. They did run him out of town, literally. James is his half-brother. The Bible says that James did not believe that Jesus was the Christ until after he rose from the grave. Can you imagine living with Jesus for all those years and never even believing he was the Messiah? I think James was very steeped in Jewish theology, doctrine, and customs and traditions. And so the Jews still don't believe that he's the Messiah. So James, being kind of the head there at the Jewish council, he didn't really believe it really was the Messiah until after Jesus appeared, and by the way, he's making a special encounter personally to James, who's the leader in Jerusalem at the Jewish council. He's one of the pastors in Jerusalem. He's one of the leaders. So Jesus appears to him. And look with me in 1 Corinthians, if you will, verse 7. He appeared to 500 at one time, and then look to verse 7. And that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Look at that. He was seen by James and then all the apostles. Now, if you read your Bible and read the history, here's what happened. Do you know that James was the first apostle that was martyred? They killed James. They cut his head off. And so Jesus appeared to him and said, James, it's me. It's Jesus. Look at me. Feel me. I am he. I am risen. And James believed, and James began a good work of leading people to Christ and leading the Jews to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he appeared to him. And then we come to the final appearance, number 10, the apostles, the other apostles. Verse 7 said he appeared to James and then the other apostles. And so he appears to the apostles at Pentecost. Boy, this is awesome. I want you to see this. Now, I want you to think about this. It's been 40 days. This is the last day. Day 40. So we got all the apostles were gathered there at Pentecost. The 50 days, if you will, ready for the Jubilee and ready for Pentecost to come. And so Jesus shows up there. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1 again. Acts chapter 1. And I want you to see this. Acts chapter 1, I want you to look in verse 4. We read verses 1 through 3. Now look in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 1. Here's what the Bible says. And being assembled together with them, they're all assembled together at Pentecost in Jerusalem, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the capital P promise of the Father. What was that promise? The Holy Spirit. He said, guys, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem right now. I appeared to you. You know who I am. This is day 40. I'm about to go back to be with my Father. But I'm going to not leave you comfortless in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So wait on it. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Stay here in Jerusalem until I anoint you with the Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening? All right, verse number 5. Look at verse 4. Until you wait for the promise of God, which he said you have heard from me. Jesus said, I told you about this. I promise. And you can read John 14. Verse 16 and 17 in John 15, verse 26, it talks about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now look in verse 5. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Exactly what's happened to me as a Christian, and exactly what happened to you. Before I was baptized with water, I was immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Jesus says, water don't. At 3 o'clock in the morning when I met Jesus, I was immersed in Jesus. I was baptized into Him. What does that mean? It means I was baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. He came into my heart, into my life. And then I went to church and was baptized by water, which is a picture, it's a symbol, it's a reflection of what already happened to me in my closet. I got saved in the closet. I've been coming out ever since. Amen. I'm out. And see, we get caught up in all this traditional stuff. Well, baptism saves. No, it don't save you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why He's telling them right here, wait until I baptize you in the Holy Spirit of God. John truly baptized you with water. He was the forerunner. It prepared you, if you will, to wait on me. And Jesus is the one that saves us. And therefore, verse 6, therefore, when they came together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will it you, is this time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They're still caught up in that. Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you going to bring your kingdom here? And here's what He said. And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. That's a good word, by the way. We need to take heed to that. And then verse 8, but you guys shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, to the ends of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses. That's why I've been hanging out with you for 40 days. So you'll know who I am and know who you are in Christ and know the mission that I'm putting you on. And He gave you and I the same commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always. And He wants you to do the same thing. Go out and share the gospel. You've already got the Holy Spirit. It's in you when you got saved. You don't need to wait on another dose. It ain't coming. You've already got it. It's the initial baptism in the Holy Spirit when you get saved. And so we know that, and that's what He's trying to teach us through this, through all these encounters. He's teaching us today something. Listen to this. This is awesome. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I just quoted that. Listen to this. Jesus gave them the great commission for their purpose. For the purpose. He gave them the great commission of their purpose. In Acts 1, 8, which I just read, He gave them the great commission of their power. He told them already in Matthew, go ye therefore, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I don't want to let you go out there in your own strength. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so you can go in my power. And that's what Acts 1:8 is all about. Anointing with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're having GIC next week. When our missionaries come in, we've adopted Acts 1:8. And here's what Acts 1:8, we're missionaries right here in our Jerusalem. Where we live, we're interested right here. And then in Samaria, our community, and in our state, if you will, and then in our Judea, which is the United States of America, and then we reach out to the uttermost parts of the world, which is the people all over the world. That's an Acts 1:8 challenge. That's what we're about here in missions. We're doing the same thing that He told them to do, or we should be doing that. And we're not doing it in our own strength. He gave us the purpose and the Great Commission, and then He gave us the power in Acts 1:8 to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to look in verse number 9 of Acts chapter, verse number 9 in Acts chapter 1. All right? Look in verse 9. Now, He just told them, you're going to see power. Holy Spirit's coming on you. You're going to be my witnesses everywhere. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now get the picture. He's got them. He's been there for 40 days. This is the last word. This is the last word He spoke to them, Acts 1:8. All right, guys. So He took them out. And look what happened. They were watching Him. He just went up in a cloud and ascended back to the Father. Now look in verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. Here's these messengers of God again, these angels. And they said, "Men of Galilee, what are you doing standing here looking into heaven? What are you doing looking up for?" That same Jesus, oh, don't miss that. This same Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven will so come again in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. You know what that tells us? He's coming back. Coming back, church. The same way he went. The eastern sky is going to open up and he's just going to come down out of those clouds and he's going to rapture the church out of here, I believe. And then all hell is going to break loose on earth during the tribulation time. And we're going to be with him. We're going to be judging nations with the apostles. And we're going to forever and ever and ever be with him. And then when the resurrection comes, when Jesus comes back, our body is going to be resurrected with him. I'm going to have a glorified body too, just like Jesus has. I'm just praying it's got black hair. Amen. I don't know. You know, God's got a sense of humor. I could be bald-headed. Can I get a witness? You better watch what you pray for, young man. And so I'm praying that God will just, you know, it's up to him. Here's the bottom line. I ain't going to worry about what it looked like. I'm going to be with the king. He's coming back for his servants. His church is coming back. That's good news. And so Jesus taught us something in these 40 days. I'll close with this. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 50. This is the Great Commission from the Gospel of Luke. Matthew gave it to us in 28, but look what Luke says about it. Look at verse 49. "Behold, I sent the promise, capital P, of my Father to you, but tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high." Look at verse 50. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen and amen. Now, here's the bottom line. There's a time to praise him. There's a time to worship him. And then there's a time to go. We can't stay in here. I'd love to stay here. Wouldn't you? To stay here with our brothers and sisters in Christ and just worship him all day. We'll do that in heaven and we're going to be serving in heaven. But we got a mission, a great commission, just like he gave the disciples. He's appeared to us through the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And so he says, "I've empowered you, Dusty, just like I did Peter, John, James. I've empowered you to go be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world." We're going to celebrate that next Sunday with our missionaries here, the Great Commission, how we're touching people around the world. So Jesus appeared to them in 40 days, 10 appearances. Could have been more, probably was more, but we have 10 recorded. And so he did that to teach them who he really was and that he's coming back. So you're here today and you don't know him, guess what? He's coming back. Ready or not, he's coming. So I would encourage you to be ready. Be ready, he's coming. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, bless our time together today. Bless the word of God. Seal it to our hearts. And Lord, I'm praying for those who don't know you, who are not ready to meet you.